Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? You experience worship this morning already?
Amen.
You experience God moving already?
Amen.
Yeah. Is this on? Can you hear me? No, it's not on. Let's check to make sure we have. There we go. Helps to turn it on. Praise God. Been experiencing worship already this morning. I've been blessed. I'm glad you guys are here for part three. Why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I don't know if you've been here the past couple weeks, but I've been blessed so far. As Pastor Brian has been sharing why we're Seventh-day Adventist, why he's a Seventh-day Adventist, the things that especially resonate in his heart as he thinks about being a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Last week was especially inspiring, talking about the second coming and that Jesus is coming back so soon. This message this morning is coupled right along with that. It's of vital importance. It's a life and death topic. So let's begin with a prayer. Precious Father, thank you. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for wanting to speak to us this morning. Thank you for going the distance for us, God. I pray that you would open our hearts to hear a word from heaven. Father, take away the distractions. Take away anything that would keep us from hearing the voice of Jesus, from experiencing your presence this morning is my desperate plea. I pray this because of Jesus. I claim his blood over this congregation. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. It's becoming a significant problem in the United States. They say that you and I produce about 4 pounds of it every day. That means in 1 year, that's about 1,460 pounds of garbage produced by the average American. It's a lot of garbage. 1,460 pounds. We produce so much garbage that though we have about 5% of the world's population, we produce about 40% of the world's garbage. Landfills are filling up here in America. You know, one of my wife's favorite days of the week, besides Sabbath, it's Monday night. Monday night, we get home from kids' night, and I go through the house, grab the trash bags, take them out to the trash can, put them in the trash can, take them out to the street. And she just feels so refreshed. Our house is now empty of garbage. The garbage is gone. We've done the cleaning. The house is clean. It's such a refreshing feeling. Don't you love garbage day? We love garbage day at our house. Well, it's become such a huge problem in the United States that they don't do this anymore, but for a while they were dumping it into the ocean. Did you know that? There's something called the Eastern Garbage Patch between here and Hawaii, and it's a huge bunch of floating garbage that they say is estimated to be twice the size of Texas. I don't know if you've ever driven across the state of Texas, but that's a huge state. Twice the size of Texas, that amount of garbage. But I find that highly ironic because God has promised that he is going to cast our sin into the depths of the sea, and it's not going to become a floating island. It's going to be forever done away with. This morning, I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter, actually let's go to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. What is it? What is it that is so wretched about sin? Why do we compare sin to garbage? This is page 716 if you're in your pew Bible. Page 716, Isaiah chapter 59 tells us something about sin that should terrify us. Something that should take away our sleep at night. Something that shouldn't give us rest until we know that this isn't the case with us. Isaiah chapter 59 in verse 2 says this, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." That's devastating. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. The word there for face is panim, which is often used to refer to God's presence. You are separated from the presence of God. Turn to Psalm chapter 16 with me. Psalm chapter 16, that's going to be page 520 if you're in your pew Bible. Psalm chapter 16 describes the presence of God. Why should we care that we're separated from the presence of God? What's the big deal? What does God have to offer us? I love how Psalm 16:11 described it. This verse has become life-changing to me. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life." Jesus is the one who has the life to offer us. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." Now let me ask you a question. If I am driving in my car and I pull up to pick you up and I say, "Sorry, my car is full," can you fit in the car? My car is full, then you can't fit in the car. If there is fullness of joy in my heart, is there room for any other joy? In God's presence is fullness of joy. When God gives you joy by his presence, there's not room for joy from any other source, because God gives you all the joy that you can handle. At his right hand, the verse goes on, there are pleasures forevermore. God's presence has joy, it has pleasures. What could be better than just to be in the presence of God? What could be better than this? And yet sin separates us from God. It's a nasty problem. It's a terrible problem. It's a problem that should take away our sleep at night if we aren't right with God. I don't want to be separated from fullness of joy. I don't want to be separated from pleasures forevermore. But here's the good news. While garbage separates us from God, the garbage problem of sin separates us from God, Jesus is not afraid of your garbage. From the very beginning, Jesus has provided a way for you to take care of your garbage. From the first day that Adam and Eve sinned, there was the promise of a coming Savior who would step in, he would take your garbage, and he would take it for you so that you didn't have to take it. You go on and you read in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, you have this Israelite nation who's going out to follow and worship God. And God says, "Build a tabernacle there so that I may dwell among you." He says, "I want my presence to be with you. I want to be with you. So here, build a tabernacle." He's told to build it after the pattern. In Hebrews chapter 8, this is absolutely essential as Seventh-day Adventists that we understand. Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 9 tell us that this is according to a heavenly tabernacle. That it's patterned after, in some small degree. It gives us the feeling of what heaven is like. Psalm 77 verse 13 tells us, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary." The way to God, the way to the path of life, the way to the presence of God, the way to fullness of joy is where? It is in the sanctuary that we find our way back to fullness of joy. Do you want joy in your life? Do you want fullness of joy in your life? I have to be honest that as a Christian, I've wondered why I didn't have more joy. I've wondered, what am I missing? And I'm coming to realize what I'm missing is the presence of Jesus. Realizing the presence of Jesus on a daily basis, I need the presence of God in my life. And so God tells us, "My way is in the sanctuary." And so we look at the sanctuary pattern, and there's so much there. We could spend weeks and weeks just talking about all the symbolism of the sanctuary and how the sanctuary points us to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who comes and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The sanctuary represents Jesus, and it also represents what Jesus would do for us in the heavenly places. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24 tells us that these were a copy of things in heaven, that our high priest would ascend to heaven, to the heavenly places, and that he would be ministering for us according to the pattern that he had given us here on earth. A spectacular thing that gives us insights into the way that Jesus is working to take care of our sin problem, to take care of our garbage. You could say in some strange metaphoric way that Jesus is our garbage man. Jesus wants to take the garbage out of your life. In fact, Matthew 1:21 says that you shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus wants to get rid of your baggage. He wants to get rid of that garbage. He wants to take it out of your life so that you can have the presence of God, so that you can have fullness of joy. How does he go about that? Well, in the sanctuary, we see two main different things that take place. And that is one, but on a daily basis, there was a daily sacrifice that took place, and there were the sin offerings that took place. And these would take place throughout the year, that if you committed a sin, that you would take this little lamb representing Jesus and you would sacrifice it for your sin. But then there's something fascinating. Something fascinating that takes place in two chapters in the Bible. It's described in Leviticus chapter 16 and Leviticus chapter 23. And that was called the Day of Atonement. You see, in this daily ministry, the high priest never went all the way into the most holy place, all the way to where the Shekinah glory was, all the way to where God's law was. The high priest never went there during the daily service. But once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go all the way into the most holy place. This day is highly instructive for us living in this day that we are living in. It's highly instructive because we're told in Daniel 8:14 that unto 2300 days, and then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. You see, on this day, all during the year, the sin was taken into the sanctuary. You had a person would come and they would confess their sin on the head of a lamb. The blood would be taken in and it would be sprinkled in there, or else the priest would eat that sacrifice. And it says that he would eat it so that he would bear the sin. And then once a year, all that sin that had been forgiven of the individuals, but that had been going into the sanctuary, once a year came garbage day. Once a year, Jesus came to take care of the garbage. See, the high priest on that day, he would go through the sanctuary. He would have two different goats, and one goat would be sacrificed, and that goat was for the Lord. And he would take the blood into the sanctuary, and he would sprinkle it all the way on the mercy seat that covered God's law in the most holy place, where the presence of Almighty God was. It was on that day that all the people in Leviticus 23 were told were to humble themselves, and they were to afflict their souls with fasting and confessing their sins. It was a day where people didn't just go about their ordinary duties. It was a special time in the Israelite year, because during that day, their garbage was being taken out, and you don't want to miss garbage day. Trust me. We were just gone for a week and a half, 2 weeks on vacation, and I came back, and I'd missed garbage day, and I'd left a couple bags of garbage in our garbage can, and we had somebody come and cut the grass and add grass to that. By the end of 2 weeks, you don't want to get anywhere near that garbage can. You don't want to miss garbage day. And that's the way it was in Leviticus 23. It said, if anyone fails to take this day, to be focusing on what the high priest was doing in their behalf, to take care of the garbage, to rid them of all this junk. If anybody failed to focus on that, to confess their sin on that day, they were to be cut off from the camp. What does that mean? That means that they were to be separated from the camp of Israel, which means that they were to be separated from the presence of God. That's the decision that you make, that a person would make by choosing to ignore the Day of Atonement. It's very interesting. We use the word atonement, and that's a big word. What exactly does atonement mean? It's an English word that was made to make sense out of this Hebrew word Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur. Kippur is the word for which we translate atonement. Atonement is simply three words, at-one-ment. At-one-ment with what? It is the day when we're finally brought back into the very presence of Almighty God. And what is in God's presence? Fullness of joy. Friends, we're living in a special time in history. This is something that we could study deeper and deeper and deeper into, but we're living at a time when Jesus wants to take out the garbage. When Jesus wants at one mint for you. When he wants for us to be forever united with the presence of God, where there is fullness of joy and where there are pleasures forevermore. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter is speaking. It's a beautiful sermon that he has there. This is on page 1054 if you're following along in your pew Bible. In the midst of this sermon, he says something that was prophetic, something powerful, something that gives us the key. We who are living in the very antitypical Day of Atonement, when Jesus is taking care of our sin problem, when Jesus is coming close to us and he's wanting to take care of our garbage and to get rid of it for all of history. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, Peter speaking to these people who are just realizing that they're guilty of crucifying the Son of God. You know, that's what I'm guilty of. Having chosen this garbage, I've chosen to be separated from the presence of the Father, and I've chosen to crucify Jesus Christ. It says this in verse 19, "Repent, therefore, and be converted." Repentance, meaning a turning away from sin. Conversion, meaning a change, a turn back to God. Repent, therefore, and be converted that, what? Your sins may be blotted out. This is the solution to the garbage problem. It's way better than anything that America has come up with. You see, Jesus is doing away with history for all of eternity. You see, our sin, as he's chosen to forgive us, has done something to God's reputation. It's affected God's reputation in heaven. As he's chosen to forgive we who are sinners, it's messed with his reputation. And he is currently taking care of this problem by working in our lives, taking care of the garbage of our lives so that for the rest of eternity, we can be united to the presence of God. Where is what? Fullness. That means you don't need joy from any other place. Where is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore? Verse 19 said, "Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Do you want to be refreshed in your Christian walk? That word, anapsuxis, basically means this. In the Lua and Nita commentary, it says this: a state of cheer and encouragement after a period of having been troubled or upset. Have you felt troubled or upset in your Christian walk? Have you felt like you needed some cheer, some encouragement? Refreshing, encouragement, recovery of happiness. It's a powerful thing. Times of refreshing. Jesus is calling us to times of refreshing. And look at where these times of refreshing, what the source of these times of refreshing is. It's just like Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11. It says, "So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Friends, it's the presence of God in your life that will give you fullness of joy. We could go into talking a lot more about the sanctuary today. But I just want to share something from my heart. I can't explain it all that well. In fact, Paul says this at one point, that we'll be filled with joy inexpressible. But this, I believe, is a pattern for our lives which can transform our experience. And over the past few weeks, I just want to say that God is doing something different in my life. You know, I've lived a lot of my Christian walk in knowing these things, understanding these things. But I believe that Jesus wants to really fill us with fullness of joy today. He really doesn't want you to have to wait until he comes back. He wants you to be filled with his presence, to be filled with fullness of joy today. He wants to refresh you, to encourage you, to give you a recovery of happiness. How does that take place? What does it say? Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come. There's a pattern there. Repent, be converted, search our hearts, afflict our souls, say, God, is there anything between me and you? Is there anything that's holding me back? Is there any garbage left in my life? And pleading that he would blot that sin out, and then asking him for his presence. And not stopping until you know that you've been filled with fullness of joy, because it's what he promised. He promised you his presence, and he promised you fullness of joy. And don't stop short of that. For too long, I've stopped short of that, and I'm realizing I cannot leave that time in the morning until I have been filled with joy, until I have been filled with his presence, until I know in whom I have believed. Jesus wants to fill us with his presence and to fill us with fullness of joy, but not just in our time of devotions. For a long time for me, that's what it's been. It's been in that time alone with him that I'm filled with joy. But Psalm 91 says this, he who dwells in the secret place will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. He says, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. That love that's so incredible, that love, that joy, that fullness of joy is something that he wants you to have throughout the day, but it's only going to come as you continue to ask him to forgive you of your sin, to ask him to blot it out, and to ask him for the presence of the Holy Spirit. So personally, just the past few weeks, whenever I get a chance, whenever I'm thinking about it, I've just been asking God to please convert me. Please fill me with your Spirit. Please, I want your presence, in which is fullness of joy. And I believe I'm just barely scratching the surface, but I want to tell you, it's real. That Jesus will fill you with more joy day by day, that the path of the righteous does grow brighter and brighter until the full day, that Jesus wants to give you fullness of joy as he takes out the garbage in your life. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, Paul talks a little bit about garbage and how desperately he wants Jesus' presence in his life. He says this, but what things were gained to me? These things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Paul said, I count everything as rubbish in comparison to the joy that comes from being filled with the presence of Christ. In order that I can gain Christ, he said, I count all things as rubbish. Do you want to let Jesus take your rubbish today? Don't miss garbage day. There's going to come an end to it. We're told that at one point, Jesus will stand up. And in Revelation 22:11, he's going to say, let him who is unholy be unholy still. Let him who is filthy be filthy still. Let him who is righteous be righteous still. Let him who is holy be holy still. There's coming a time when garbage day will be over. Why not let him blot our sin out forever, starting right now? Why not let him take it from us and not dig it back up? I'm telling you that having the presence of Jesus is incredibly motivating. Just look at Jesus on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? What killed Jesus? It was his broken heart. Broken heart from what? From being separated from the presence of Almighty God. You see, to be in God's presence is fullness of joy, and I don't think we've experienced that yet. I don't think we understand what it is, because sin doesn't kill us. It's not, to be separated from Jesus doesn't cause us that kind of anguish. But little by little, as I've been experiencing a little more of the presence of Jesus, I'm realizing that there is fullness of joy there that makes everything else look like rubbish, that makes me want nothing but Jesus, that will give victory after victory after victory, all in the joy of the presence of God. I want to close just by encouraging you to do these two things. First of all, to start your day pleading with God for repentance, conversion, and the blotting out of your sin so that times of refreshing. And don't leave until you feel refreshed. He's promised you refreshment. Claim that promise. Say, until I have recovery of happiness, I'm not letting you go, God. But then as you go through the day, continue to say that. Continue to cling to him. Continue to say, God, whatever it is in my life, blot it out and give me refreshment today. He wants to give you continual refreshment day in and day out. He wants to give you continual joy. Today is the day where we get to celebrate communion. We get to celebrate the intimacy that we have with Christ. We get to celebrate that he has washed us with his blood, as it says in 1 John 1:7. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Do you want to be cleansed? You want your garbage taken out? I sure do. Let's pray that God will take our garbage as never before. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for providing a way. Thank you for providing a way back into the presence of fullness of joy, back into the presence of God. We want it, God. Sometimes our hearts are afraid to believe that it's even possible. We've walked so long without fullness of joy. But Lord, we want to commit today to do whatever it takes to seek you with all of our heart and to trust that we will find you. Oh God, thank you for providing a solution, for blotting out our sin, for taking our garbage for all of eternity. May we not postpone allowing you to take our garbage out. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.